It's a play that the writer describes as like a Shakespeare hoedown that might make you cry. It's called The Heath, and it tells the story of playwright Lauren Gunderson's own grandfather, alongside the story of Shakespeare's King Lear, who famously went mad. And on top of that, she plays the banjo. Lauren Gunderson is here with us now. Lauren, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Lois.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. Now, there is a whole lot going on with this show. So let's begin with one of the elements, probably the main element, your grandfather. Who was he and what led you to write about him?
His name was K.D. Martin, and he grew up on the poorest of the poor in South Carolina, one of 16 children on a South Carolina farm. And, you know, when I knew him, he was this wonderful grandfather, giving and generous. And I started to notice something changing in him as he got older. And we realized that it was Alzheimer's that was progressive. And so I started to basically lose my grandfather before he was gone. And it reminded me of King Lear. And so from that perspective, being a theater nerd as I am, looking through Shakespeare back to him and rediscovering him through looking at pictures and his history. He was a POW in World War II.
Where was that?
He was in Italy, but then he was taken to a camp in Germany and liberated by the Russians, but without any help. And so he had to find his way from Germany all the way to Odessa, Russia, on foot to come back to who would be his wife, Irene, my grandmother.
Oh, my.
And this is all sorts of stories that I didn't really talk to him about when he was alive. And so it was through writing this play to honor him, to understand him, to find him, that I discovered this incredible hero that I have as a grandfather.
So if you didn't speak with him about these stories, who did you turn to?
There was an amazing local gentleman who was a World War II buff, and he interviewed my grandfather with this long, detailed, kind of a nail-biting, turn-by-turn description of his service. And so I have, miraculously, this incredibly detailed account that he participated in. So it was through that I got these amazing details of how many times it was three steps to the left and the guy behind him got blown to bits and been down to tie a shoe and a bullet whizzed by his head, and those kinds of things that are frankly common in stories of soldiers in World War II.
Anyone who's been in a camp.
But certainly did not seem like my grandfather, So comparing these stories and again comparing it to King Lear, again a story of a leader of armies, of kingdoms clashing. So I found this kind of bouncing between the historical truth of my grandfather and the literary truth of King Lear.
It fascinates me that Lear comes to mind. Of course, I don't have the breadth of knowledge you have about theater, but I think cruelty.
Yes.
And brutality with Lear. Was your grandfather violent?
Not in any way. King Lear, when I think of it, is just such a tragedy because when you understand that his madness is what is causing this frustration, this anger, this lashing out, there are elements of that I saw in my grandfather, much more muted, of course, than King Lear. But he would get very frustrated, and he hated not knowing who he was, who the other people were, where he was. Mm. You can only imagine how frustrating that was. So comparing those trends, at the end of King Lear, you see a broken man who is nowhere near the power and the might that he was at the beginning of the play as a king. And that is unfortunately similar to my grandfather, this charming, rosy-cheeked, man, turns into a shadow of himself. And it was those kind of co-trajectories that led me to see through King Lear what was happening, what was going on with him.
Hmm. Lauren, you've been one of the most produced playwrights in the country in the last several years. And in January, we spoke when you offered your show, The Taming, to any theater to produce free for one day. About 40 companies took you up on that?
Yes.
Well, how... This show is so personal to you. How has this been a different experience? If you could describe the difference between, you know, the shows when you have highlighted historical figures, really championed some hidden figures who deserve to be recognized, and this deeply personal story.
I mean, it's a testament to the cathartic power of theater. I think the theater is one of those things that through its gathering and through a deeply empathetic shared experience with the performers, the writers, the designers, the audience, we all feel something that we wouldn't have felt without this particular moment in time with this group of gathered people. And I usually feel that from the playwright's perspective, back in the, you know, darkness of the theater, watching the audience watch the play. But in this case, I kind of insanely am on stage telling a story. I've never really done that before.
Certainly. Why didn't you decide to do this as a one-woman show?
Because I'm scared of it, and because it felt like, frankly, the way to apologize and honor my grandfather, and frankly, a lot of the people who have lost friends and family through this disease and through dementia and through many ways that we lose people way before their time or before we even know them. You know, getting up and saying out loud, this is my grandfather, this is my story, and I know it's yours too. There is this remarkable magic that theater has of allowing us to know ourselves as we are performing. So in some ways, this is completely selfish for me just to get up there and say, yeah, this is a story that I need to tell. I have to say this. And I've been so gratified by people in the audience who've come up and told me the stories of their parents, their grandparents, you know, losing family members, and how this, it's a more universal experience than it may seem, as, you know, this is my story and my grandfather of this particular time. But it's really about how we say goodbye to somebody when they're already gone.
I don't think that most people would consider it selfish when the first thing you responded was you cast this as a one-woman show to perform yourself because you were scared.
Yes, that's true.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with playwright Lauren Gunderson. She's performing her one-woman show, The Heath, at Synchronicity Theater tonight. We'll be back after a short break. On WABE City Lights.
Support for WABE comes from Cisco WebEx, a global provider of online video meetings. Cisco WebEx now includes Cisco Spark, meeting place, workspace. You can learn more at webex.com. And from the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra, presenting countertenor David Daniels singing the title role in Gluck's Orfeo et Euridice, featuring Susanna Phillips and Heidi Stober, with staging by artist Daniel Arsham, Thursday and Saturday, May 11th and 13th at 8 p.m. in Atlanta Symphony Hall. Tickets available now at atlantasymphony.org or at 404-733-5000. Classical series presented by Delta Airlines.
This is City Lights on WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Lois Reitzes, so glad to be here with you, and playwright Lauren Gunderson. She's performing her one-woman show, The Heath, at Synchronicity Theater tonight. The Heath is, of course, a reference to Shakespeare's King Lear. When you think of your grandfather, you mentioned that he wasn't at all cruel or brutal, but that the madness was what drew you to that play, and the frustration your poor grandfather felt when he realized he was losing control of his mind because of Alzheimer's. Another aspect of Lear is that his daughters betray him. And you're playing on that in your show as well. What are you working through in regard to that?
I mean, every angle of it, that I try to acknowledge that I probably wasn't a great granddaughter to him. I was busy in my life and, you know, doing theater and, you know, I lived in California at the time. And so coming back to South Carolina, you know, it just felt like a lot of time and this and that and all the excuses we give when I used to write him a lot of postcards, but I stopped writing because he didn't know who I was anymore. And so I there's a line in the play that says, when you stop writing, you should probably start showing up. And I didn't really do that. And so over and over again, I regret so much just not being there. And I don't know what it's like to be in that state brought low by Alzheimer's. So I don't know if he would have had any sense of that someone loved him was there, if I was different than a nurse or a stranger, if I had shown up. But part of me does believe that he would have known that somebody was there who loved him. And I didn't give him that. And that will be something that I'm dealing with in the show. And, you know, I kind of wrestle with it within the show of, okay, am I Cordelia? Am I Goneril? which of the terrible daughters am I?
but of course, they were pretty terrible.
They were pretty bad.
I don't think you're in that category.
But there's also Cordelia, who, yes, of course, they end up together, Lear and Cordelia at the end. And it is probably the most tragic of tragedies as far as Western literature goes. But in that last moment of the play, they know each other. He recognizes her. He says, I think you are my daughter Cordelia. And they get a moment together where they say, we will pray and laugh and sing. And I say, that sounds like a Southern funeral to me. So combining these moments of hope and beauty and connection in this tragedy, which was part of my journey too, of knowing him and finding him a little too late, but still finding him, you know?
Well, let's talk about the banjo, speaking of Southern.
Sure.
You didn't play before going into this. I mean, talk about brave. Why make it a musical and why the banjo?
I actually don't know. No, that's not true. He loved bluegrass banjo. He loved Earl Scruggs. And part of my discovery is I realized that Earl Scruggs was born 10 miles from where my grandfather was born. So there's this kind of banjo fate to it all. And I was walking home in California one night a couple months after he died. And I looked up at this marquee and this big sign and it said, learn banjo. And I just thought, okay.
It was a sign was in more than one way.
Exactly, yes.
Oh, you have become a Californian.
I know, Lauren. Haven't I? I know. And so I went out and bought one, and I just thought, well, I mean, I guess people can learn these things, so I'll try. Thinking that if it did go in the show, it would be a valiant story of how Lauren tried and totally failed to learn the banjo. But, you know, music you can learn in steps. And so I learned enough to accompany myself, to write a few little songs, and has become this beautiful, meaningful thing for me. So I'm so glad to play it and terrified every night. but you know, doing terrifying things makes you strong.
Well, I applaud your bravery, the tenderness that goes into this story, and what no doubt is a very beautiful tribute to your grandfather. Lauren Gunderson, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Lauren Gunderson performs The Heath tonight at Synchronicity Theater. That's this evening at 8 o'clock.